This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Bryn Spatcher? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Bryn Spatcher was born on January 25, 1991. She had a hearing impairment from birth and used hearing aids. Bryn earned a doctorate in audiology from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. In November of 2017, she moved to Thousand Oaks, California, and worked as an audiologist for UCLA Health. Sometime around early May 2018, Bryn met a man named Chad O'Melia at a dog park. Chad was originally from Santa Clarita, California, and lived in a condominium in Thousand Oaks. He worked in an accounting office and wanted to become a certified public accountant someday. He was described as a daily smoker of marijuana. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On May 27, 2018, Bryn Spatcher arrived at Chad O'Melia's condominium sometime around 10 or 10:30 p.m. During Bryn's visit, Chad smoked marijuana out of a bong. Again, this was a common behavior for Chad. He was a big fan of marijuana. Bryn indicated that she wanted some marijuana as well. After smoking some, she did not believe that she was feeling the effects. To remedy this perceived problem, Chad retrieved more of the drug for Bryn. Just after 1 a.m., now on May 28, the police responded to a report of a disturbance at Chad's condominium. When they entered his residence, they found Bryn holding an 8-inch knife and slashing her own face and neck. They deployed a taser and struck her repeatedly with a baton in order to persuade her to drop the knife. Bryn appeared to be impervious to pain. Eventually, the officers were able to take her into custody. In the condominium, they found 26-year-old Chad O'Melia. Bryn had stabbed Chad 108 times and killed him. In addition to attacking Chad, Bryn attacked and seriously injured her own dog. The dog survived the attack. On May 31, 2018, while Bryn was still in the hospital, she was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. On June 7, she was released on bail. The case took a long time to work its way through the court system. A mental health expert working for the defense claimed that Bryn's homicidal actions were the result of cannabis-induced psychosis. Bryn said that after the second hit on the bong, she started to hear and see things that weren't there, and she had an out-of-body experience. She believed that she was dead and that she had to stab Chad to bring herself back to life. In a surprising twist, the state agreed with the conclusion of the defense and reduced Bryn's charges from second-degree murder to involuntary manslaughter. Instead of facing up to life in prison, she was only looking at a maximum sentence of 4 years. Bryn took her case to trial. On December 1, 2023, she was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. The judge decided that Bryn would not be relocating to prison. She was sentenced to 100 hours of community service and to 2 years of probation. If she violates the conditions of her probation, she could go to prison for up to 4 years. The judge defended his decision to grant a very light sentence. He believed that after Bryn smoked marijuana, there was nothing that she could do to stop the killing. He said, quote, "It was clear that she had no control of her faculties and never intended to cause any harm. All of the medical experts agreed including the expert called by the district attorney's office, unquote. At her sentencing, Brin stated that she wished she had known more about the dangers of marijuana. She said, quote, "Had I known, I would never have smoked it that night or at all," unquote. Now moving to my analysis. There is no question that Brin was at least guilty of involuntary manslaughter. However, some people believe that she was actually guilty of second-degree murder. They believe the state made a mistake in reducing her charges. The state, of course, disagrees. They were pleased with the involuntary manslaughter conviction, and they were not seeking anything more serious. They took the unusual move of siding with the defense. Usually, the state is more interested in prosecuting defendants. However, if the defendant is not guilty of a crime, the state should not pursue charges. Maybe the state was trying to obtain a just outcome.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This brings me to the question, was Brin guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Brin was guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. There is no question that Brin stabbed Chad 108 times, and this behavior resulted in his death. Chad did not provoke Brin. He did not threaten her. This was not an act of self-defense. Chad was a victim in this case. Brin went to Chad's home knowing that he was a frequent marijuana user. There is no evidence to support Brin's claim that she was forced, coerced, bullied, or intimidated into using marijuana. When she smoked marijuana with Chad the first time that night, she did so voluntarily. What changed during the second time? Now all of a sudden Chad was forcing her to smoke? Her argument just doesn't make any sense. The evidence supports the idea that Brin voluntarily used the drug. Therefore, she was responsible for her behavior afterward, regardless of her level of control. Her level of control beforehand is what's important. It's just like a situation where somebody becomes intoxicated in a bar and kills someone with a bottle or a chair. They may not be acting intentionally in the moment they killed the person, but they acted intentionally when they drank the alcohol. Voluntarily using substances does not give someone a license to kill or even a license to get reduced charges. The marijuana used by Brin and Chad was purchased at a local dispensary. There were no other reports of cannabis-induced psychosis or homicide. Maybe Brin simply wanted to stab Chad, and the marijuana had nothing to do with it. She pretended to be psychotic, knowing this was her only chance of escaping criminal responsibility. Most people who become psychotic primarily represent a danger to themselves. Brin not only became psychotic, she just happened to have a delusion that she needed to stab her lover to death. Mental health clinicians declared that Brin had cannabis-induced psychosis, but there is no way they could know this for sure. One instrument used in the assessment process was the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, or MMPI. Research has demonstrated that this test cannot be relied upon to detect if a person is faking mental health symptoms. Moving to the exculpatory factors, mental health experts declared that Brin was suffering from cannabis-induced psychosis at the time of the killing. One clinician who watched the body camera footage said that Brin appeared to be possessed. Brin harming herself with a knife is an unusual behavior, which would be difficult to fake. Most people trying to cover for a murder would not be inclined to do that. Furthermore, Brynn clearly liked her dog, yet she attacked the dog as well. She appeared to be impervious to pain, which is consistent with psychosis. Brynn claimed that Chad pressured her into smoking the marijuana. He may have filled the bong with more potent marijuana than Brynn used the first time. Although no physical evidence was found to support this claim, it does make sense under the circumstances. Brynn didn't feel the effect from her first use of the drug, so now Chad was looking to give her something stronger. Brynn said that she only used marijuana on 8 occasions in her life and only felt the effects one time prior to smoking with Chad. If there was cannabis-induced psychosis, perhaps it was not a foreseeable consequence based on her history with the drug. Brynn had a reason to believe that her reaction to the drug would not involve a break from reality or stabbing people. Based on her history, Brynn did not appear to be particularly irresponsible with her drug use. For example, one of Brynn's friends said that Brynn actively avoided marijuana as a teenager, and a man that Brynn dated from 2014 to 2017 said that in 2015, he was with Brynn on a camping trip in Washington State. She smoked marijuana for the first time and decided that she did not like the drug. When considering all the evidence, do I think that Brynn was guilty of murder? No. In my opinion, she was not guilty of murder beyond a reasonable doubt, but I do think she was guilty of involuntary manslaughter. The state made an appropriate decision in this case as far as reducing the charge, but that doesn't address the issue of sentencing. The judge was very lenient in this case. Brynn should have at least served some time in prison. I think what happened in this case is that the question about cannabis-induced psychosis became the focus instead of whether Brynn voluntarily used the marijuana. It is reasonable to believe that Brynn was psychotic because of her cannabis use, but did she use the drug of her own volition? The evidence supports the theory that she did. Therefore, prison time would have made sense. Chad's father was worried that the judge has granted people a license to kill. This is an accurate and legitimate concern. This brings me to the question, is it safe for people to use marijuana, or has its legalization in many areas created a false sense of security? Here's what the research tells us. Marijuana is the most consumed illicit drug in the world. Over 26% of adults will use the drug at some point during their lifetime. Marijuana use can lead to aggressive behavior. It can cause or exacerbate psychosis. 15% of cannabis users identified psychotic-like symptoms, and psychotic symptoms are twice as common in young adults who use cannabis. Marijuana frequently produces paranoia and has repeatedly demonstrated devastating effects on mental health, especially for people who have pre-existing mental disorders like social anxiety, major depressive disorder, and post-traumatic stress disorder. These research results are a reminder that just because something is legal does not mean it is safe. Now moving to my final thoughts. Historically, individuals who have committed offenses during cannabis-induced psychosis have experienced a much greater chance of avoiding criminal responsibility because of the idea that the psychosis was not foreseeable. The case of Brynn Specher is a great example of this. When will the dangers of marijuana use be taken seriously? How many more people like Chad O'Melia will have to die before society declares the effects of marijuana as foreseeable? If people want to use the drug, that is their choice. But marijuana use should not grant permission to avoid the consequences of homicidal behavior or any criminal behavior.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.